After this, Pitu Maharaj took his bath, which is customarily taken after the performance of a yajna, and received the benedictions and due blessings of the demigods, who were very pleased by his glorious activities. Report. Yajna means Lord Vishnu. For all yajna is meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Since the demigods automatically become very pleased with the performance of sacrifice, they bestow benediction upon the executors of yajnas. When one pours water in the root of a tree, the branches, trunk, twigs, flowers, and leaves are all satisfied. Similarly, when one gives food to the stomach, all parts of the body are rejuvenated. In the same way, if one simply satisfies Lord Vishnu by the performance of yajna, one satisfies all the demigods automatically. In turn, the demigods offer their benedictions to such a devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, does not ask benedictions directly from the demigods. His only business is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he is never in need of those things supplied by the demigods. Text 41. Viprasatya shishastushta shathaya lakanakshina ashiso yuju kshatar adirajaya sakrita. With great respect, the original king Pitu offered all kinds of rewards to the brahmanas present at the sacrifice. Since all these brahmanas were very much satisfied, they gave their heartfelt blessings to the king. Text 42. Chayahuta mahabaho sarva eva samadhanaha pujita dhamana dhyam piti devarshimaha. All the great sages and brahmanas said, O mighty king, by your invitation, all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitiloka and heavenly planets, and great sages, as well as common men, have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them. Mukham karati vachanam mangalam vareti yakinamanam vandele sri guru nimaram amakyana chinandasya vakyan shalashatakya chakshuriti tanyaya tasmai sri guru. So in the purport of verse 40, Srila Prabhupada explains about yajna, sacrifice, how it should be for Vishnu. And then everyone will be pleased, all the demigods will be pleased. So in the beginning of creation, the demigods themselves were performing sacrifice to the Lord. And they wanted to make an offering, but at that point there was no universe, there was no universal form. There were some parts of the body, there were some noses and legs and hands, but there were no... there was nothing to offer. So they wondered how they were going to make an offering without anything to offer. So in response, the Lord entered into the elements and he produced the universal form. So from the universal form of the Lord, they made an offering. Because the trees and the plants and the fruits and the vegetables which you offer, they are the hairs on the body of the universal form. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvashikava vavvatta sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante mam bhuta bhava samamitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So if you know, this is a principle, that Krishna is the cause of everything, everything comes from Krishna. This is one of the principles in Bhagavad Gita that we learn, and this is actually one of the seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. So if you know this principle, if you believe this principle, if you accept Krishna is the cause of everything, then what will you do? How will you behave? There is a behavior that goes along with it. So the verse tells us, iti matva, knowing this, vajante ma, the wise, they worship me. Buddha Baba Samamita, with intelligence and with heart. With heart. So everything is made from Krishna's limbs, from the universal forms. So therefore we should take everything from Krishna and offer it back to him. And that is called yajna. And we take the things given to us by Krishna and offer back to him. So what do we have to offer? Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yomeva yapayachati taraham bhakti paritam ushnami payachapanam. So leaf, flower, fruit, and water. And these are all parts of the universal form. And every herb, every plant, every tree has a purpose to fulfill as a service. Every living entity is part of the universal form. It is a cell of the body. We are like cells of the universal form. We all have a service to perform. And also the trees, the plants, the animals, the rivers, they all have a purpose to perform. So when Maharaj Yudhisthira was here, he was a Krishna conscious being. And when he was here, all of the rivers, the oceans, the hills, the mountains, the forests, the creepers paid their tax quota to the king. Not only are the people citizens, but even the plants are citizens, the oceans, the hills, and they paid their tax. They paid their tax to the king because he was Krishna conscious. So everything in nature has something to give. Even the river. Why has Krishna created the river? So that we have water to drink. The oceans are there for a purpose. And they preserve the water. They preserve the water. So every vegetable, every creeper has a purpose, has a service to perform. But because we don't know what this purpose is, then we take out the weeds, but the weeds have a purpose too. They're medicine. They're medicine. And so otherwise, the medicine is there, we just don't know how to use it. Srila Prabhupada said that the Aborigines, they know. They know how to use the plants from the forest. as medicine. And Prabhupada gives an example of himself that one time he had a toothache in 1931-32. He went to the dentist so many times, the dentist couldn't help him. So then he went, his servant took him to his village, and there was a jungle doctor, and he brought some herb there and touched it to his teeth, and everything was okay. And so Prabhupada said, he read in the Ayurvedic medicine that there is one herb, if you get it, you put it to your mouth and all the germs will come out from when this was this herb. And so by nature's way, there's so many drugs, there's so many roots, there's so many creepers that can cure all the diseases. You just don't know. So the river has a purpose to supply water. And during the rainy season, the water from the ocean is evaporated, the salt is left in the ocean, the pure water comes out, it's put on the top of the mountain, and then it comes down. Just like in India, I don't know how you have it here, but we have these tanks on the top of the building that keeps the water, and we pump it up, and then it comes down when we need it. So nature has the same thing, that the water is kept top of the mountain, and then it comes down for when we need it. And so the problem is now that so many people are misusing nature, misusing the rivers, and so therefore there's flood, there's cyclone, there's so many things. Tsunami. I think there was one recently in Indonesia or something, some earthquake. Yeah. And so if we surrender to Krishna, then we can actually control nature. And how to surrender, of course, Harinam Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada said when he was a small child in 1900, he said there was a plague in Calcutta. And they cured the plague by Harinam Sankirtan. The people were going house to house, chanting. He said all the faiths joined together, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Parsi, everyone joined the Harinam. And he went house to house and the plague finished. And he said it was in the history that the plague was finished in Calcutta, Calcutta plague, by the Sankirtan movement. And so everything, if we are Krishna conscious, then we can be in harmony with nature. And so the unlimited number of living entities are there, but Krishna has made arrangements to take care of everyone. And he said, if you become Krishna conscious, then the rivers will serve you, the hills will serve you, the forest will serve you, everyone will serve you, animals will serve you. So we have this opportunity, we have this human form of life. If we do yoga, we harinam sankirtan yoga, then we can have a happy life, live peacefully. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that I sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifice for Vishnu. And this will make, then people can live happily in this world. So what should be our attitude? What should be our mood when we perform sacrifice, when we do devotional service? All devotional service is also a yoga, it's a sacrifice to please the Lord. We want to please Krishna, that's the purpose of our lives, somehow or other, to please Krishna. And if we please Krishna, then we get the blessings of the Guru, we get the blessings of the devotees. When I was Pujari, 1976, I think it was, in Calcutta, then we were very much into decorating with flowers. So every day I had 50 garlands donated for the deities, and I would change the flowers 5 times a day. And Prabhupada really liked it. And one time he came for Shingararti and he sat on his Yasasana. And he called us up, my husband and I, and he said, thank you very much for worshipping the deity so nicely. And then, so we felt, oh, well, we've got the blessings. We've got the blessings of our spiritual master. Now our life is perfect. But then the next day you have to earn the blessings again. It's not so easy. To get the blessings every day of your life, you have to keep trying to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna. It's not like we can retire at the age of 26 or 27 and, okay, I've got the blessings. Finished. No, you have to keep on trying to get the blessings. Keep on doing yoga. Your life, give your life as a sacrifice to Krishna. So what is the attitude that we must have? Prabhupada explains in one purport of second canto, sixth chapter, that the impersonalist wrongly concludes he is God, he is Lord himself, but the personalist, out of a sense of gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service. So gratitude is the attitude, the mood we should have. Thank Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this ability to do devotional service, for giving me the opportunity to do devotional service, for giving me the ability to chant, the ability to give me, allowing me to breathe, because when you're old, you never know. You may wake up one morning and not be able to breathe, or something may, your knee may go, or something may happen. And so gratitude is very important. And we can be grateful for the things that are yet to come also. And that way we don't have to be in anxiety. So, in a purport, Prabhupada says, when human society is grateful to the Lord for all his gifts for the maintenance of living entities, there is no scarcity or want in society. Right. But when men are unaware of the intrinsic value of such gifts, they are surely in want. So we must be grateful. This is the mood. Mood, offer things to Krishna out of gratitude. Thank you for giving me these things to offer to you. So, okay, this is our attitude. Why should we offer to Krishna? Krishna doesn't need anything. He's completely satisfied. He doesn't need our food. He's not impressed with our renunciation. Prabhupada gives the example. Suppose you walk into the bank and say, I renounce this bank. It wasn't yours to begin with. So same way, what can we renounce and what can we offer? Nothing belongs to us. It all belongs to Krishna. It's part of his universal form. In the old days, my friends, Sankirtan devotees, they would go out sometimes for weeks. They wouldn't come back to the temple. They would just go out and live in the van, distributing books. And so it was difficult to get prasadam. So what they would do, they would go into the supermarket and they would offer the whole shop, the whole supermarket, and eat what they wanted. Yeah, except the meat, fish, eggs, of course. But yeah, so this is one way to offer. Thanks to Krishna, different ways to offer. So what do we have to offer to Krishna? He's looking for our love, actually. He's looking for our devotion. It's not so much the thing. Because what can we give? What do we have to give to Krishna? So the pure devotee, he understands everything belongs to Krishna. And he also understands that everything belongs to Krishna's devotees, because they are the representatives of Krishna. Prithu Maharaj, now we're in the 19th chapter. Later on, when we hear the 22nd chapter, he hears from the four Kumaras transcendental knowledge. And he wanted to offer something to them in Dakshina, something out of gratitude he wanted to offer. And he says, it's my duty to offer you something, but all I possess are the remnants of food taken by you, great saintly persons. What can I give you? Because everything belongs to the Brahmins, actually. Not only to Krishna, it belongs to the Brahmins. He says, what can I give you? So out of love, we offer something to Krishna. Sudama Brahmana, he had nothing to offer, just some chipped rice, broken chipped rice. He was embarrassed, he didn't want to offer it, but Krishna snatched it, and in return he got a palace. So I saw, yeah, there's a sign out there with a fruit lady who's giving a little fruit, and she's getting a whole basket full of jewels. Well, that's a good idea. Give to Krishna, and you'll get a basket full of jewels. Yes, but yes, anyway, Krishna will take care of you. So how to engage in sacrifice? What to engage? Bhagavatam, 10th canto, It explains 10:22:35. Four things you can give. Pranayama, you can give your life. And if you cannot do that, give some money. And that was the example given by Vijay on book distribution. Somebody, he distributes a book to somebody. And he asks them, you can give something for this book. So then the person asks, what shall I give? And Vijay says, well, the best thing is if you give your life. But if you can't do that, you can give some donation. Well, they say, yeah, well, I can't give my life, all right. So then comes next is donation, wealth. Pranayama, if you can't give your life, give some money. Give something, some donation to Krishna. If you think, oh, well, I don't have so much money, there's still a diha of intelligence. Give your intelligence. Try to help plan out things, to give some input to the planning of the festivals and prasad distribution, different things. So, vacha means words. So if you think you're not very intelligent, you can give your words, vacha. You can chant Hare Krishna, you can get people to chant Hare Krishna, you can distribute books, you can preach. So that is something that won't cost you anything, except a little time, of course. So Prabhupada had the vision. He engaged all of us, rich and poor. Some of us had nothing to give Krishna. Most of us didn't have anything. We were hippies. But some of us had some savings. Jayananda gave his savings to print Nectar of Devotion. Brahmananda gave his life savings when he joined. He gave a check to Prabhupada. And he was asking for the 3 volumes of Bhagavatam in return. And Prabhupada said, that will be extra. And Brahmananda said that it was harder to get that $16 than the $5,000 he gave Prabhupada. Because he was a brahmachari and he didn't have any money before he had a job. So Krishna, although he's self-sufficient, he doesn't need anything from anyone. But he accepts because we offer with love. And he accepts because he has a friendly attitude toward all living entities. So we should offer out of love, we should offer out of gratitude, and we should offer out of friendship. Krishna is a friendly, he's our best friend. In the early lecture in 1966, very early, one of the first lectures Prabhupada gave, he quoted Nectar of Instruction, Dadati Patibhinati. Offering gifts of charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam, and offering prasadam are 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. And in his lecture he said, we should make friendship with Krishna, we should do these 6 things with Krishna. We should offer gifts, accept gifts, we should offer food, we should accept the prasad, we should reveal our minds confidentially, and we should hear his instructions. So how to love Krishna? Srila Prabhupada in that lecture said we have to practice. How do we practice loving Krishna? We have to get up early in the morning. You don't like to, but you think, oh, I will get up early to satisfy Krishna. So this is the beginning. Then, oh, I have to chant 16 rounds. After 10-16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra and my beads, Prabhupada said, you may be lazy, you may not want to do it, but if you want to love Krishna, you must do it. In the beginning, you have to learn how to love Krishna, but when you actually come to the state of love, there is no question, oh, I have to do it. You want to do it, you can't wait to do it. Spontaneously, you will follow regular principles, because love is there. If you go to Jayapur, I went to Jaipur maybe 20 years ago, many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, 1980s. I can't remember, time goes so fast. Maybe 40 years ago, I don't know. So I went to Jaipur and you wake up to go to one malarkey, and you hear people running down the street shouting, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. They're fully enthusiastic. They're going to one malarkey. They have a lot of love. They really can't wait. 1,000 people come to Mangalarti and they're all singing too. They're singing in Mangalarti something, some songs. And so this is love. This is spontaneous. This is Prabhupada is talking about here. And so we want to give a gift. If we want to be friendly with Krishna, we give a gift. We have to disclose our minds. We go and we pray to the deities. We can pray. When we were devotees in Boston in 1970, we had a practice that you would go up in front of the deities one by one, once a week, and we would reveal our minds. And we would ask questions confidentially. We would tell Krishna what we did the whole week and ask and tell our problems and ask for help and blessings. So there is one of the 64 items of devotional service is to reveal your mind confidentially to the deity. So we were doing that. And Krishna would give us answers how to go about our daily work. So two attitudes are there, the impersonalist and the personalist. The impersonalist wants to be God, and the devotee wants to be servant of God, one in interest. And so therefore, the devotee takes everything and he offers it to Krishna. He knows everything belongs to Krishna. He doesn't claim anything his own. And this is very helpful in making offerings and sacrifice. So one time in London, Prabhupada came to the airport and there was a press conference. And all the devotees, as soon as they saw Prabhupada, they hit the floor of the airport. And the reporters are looking, what's going on here? Why are they bowing down to this man? They were thinking. So one reporter asked the question to Prabhupada, do you think you are God? And Prabhupada said, a spiritual master should be given all respects as God. But if he thinks he's God, then he is dog. So Prabhupada knew what was in the mind of the reporter. And he answered the question. And so, the impersonalist, Prabhupada says, they cannot eat, they renounce good food. A real impersonalist, a real my money. But a devotee, he enjoys eating prasad. So it's a quite different process. So what is the best sacrificial offering? What is the best thing we can offer? Of course, it's chanting the holy name. If you look on the lotus feet of Radharani underneath, you can't see them, but can imagine, there is one mark on Radharani's lotus feet, the sacrificial altar. So, sacrifice. What sacrifice do we offer if we meditate on this sacrificial altar on Radharani's lotus feet? It is said, all the sins are burned up on one who meditates on this sacrificial altar on Radharani's lotus feet. Also, just like the universe is nourished by the Brahmanas offering fire sacrifice, similarly, those who offer their minds in sacrifice to Radha and Krishna's lotus feet stimulate universal nourishment that affects all of creation. So this purport is saying, you offer to Krishna, the whole universe is satisfied. So if you meditate on the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, then the whole universe is nourished. If you offer your mind, the mind is something that sometimes gives us trouble, offer your mind to Krishna. Just give it. Okay, here it is. Good and bad, everything I'm giving you. Just take what you want. And take out. And then your sins will be purified and Krishna will purify your mind. So the last thing, last meaning of this mark of the sacrificial altar on Radharani's lotus feet is that this universe is the form of Krishna and the offering is the form of Radha. So the perfect union is indicated by the mark of a sacrificial altar. When you take something from this world and offer it, then you're uniting Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna, because the universe is Krishna, the offering is Radha. So then, perfect sacrifice. So when you chant the holy name on Parinam, you're doing that. You're uniting Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Right. So, when I was pujari again in Calcutta, Prabhupada said that this deity worship is under the direction of Srimati Radharani. Nectar devotion also confirms to perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani. So that's why in Vrindavan you see Radhevati, devotees in Vrindavan that put themselves under the care of Radharani. And Gita confirms in the 9th chapter, Daivam Prakritim Ashutaha, that the Mahatmas, the great souls, take shelter of Daivam Prakriti. And this is Radharani. So if we do our sacrifice under the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, Krishna, then the whole universe will be nourished, our sins will be finished, and we will go back on way to Godhead. At the beginning of Bhagavatam, it's described the sacrifice. The great sages were performing a sacrifice, sages Nama Sharanya. There's a verse, 118.12, Karmanyasmin anash vase dhumma dhumratmanam kalam appayayati govinda parapadma savamadhum. We've just begun this performance of this fruit of activity, sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Govinda, which you are distributing. So their fire sacrifice was not going well. They were getting black from the smoke, but the katha, Krishna katha, that was nourishing. That was, they were feeling very happy hearing about Govinda. So in this age of Kali, our sacrifice is not of fire. It is of our ears, our tongue, our minds, in the nectar of association of Radha Krishna in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya, Guru Vishnu. Any questions or comments? You can ask at this point.
Thank you for the nice class. I was just wondering at this point about like this lady with the basket, she's offering fruits and giving jewels.
Yeah.
We see practically like devotees all over the world, they work so hard just to like maintain their homes and their families.
Yes.
So are we supposed to understand that Krishna is also reciprocating with them in the same way?
Yes, he's reciprocating with them. Krishna promises that my devotee shall never be vanquished. So one meaning of that is that he maintains the devotee. He's maintaining them. And the devotee, he may work so hard at his job, but actually the results are already given, already there, according to karma. But the devotee, of course, doesn't get karma. He gets what Krishna gives him. So that can change. I mean, we may think, oh, I'm working hard and therefore the result, this is the result of my work. But actually Gita says, no, you work for Krishna and then the result is up to Krishna. So the devotee, the actual devotee who's working, he will think, okay, this is, I'm doing this, I'm maintaining my family members, they're devotees of Krishna. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's meditation was, my family members are servants of Krishna, so I must work to maintain them. So he's doing it as a service. The work is also part of devotional service. And to purify the work, he gives some part of it, portion, for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. If you take the Grihastha workshop, they explain a certain percentage should be in your budget should be for donation to help the devotees, and that will purify. Oh, purified work. Yes, they should see that the results are being given by Krishna. He's keeping your body healthy. He's making your car run so you can get to work. He's giving you the job. He's giving you everything. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Just this point about how Krishna, everything is Krishna, and then like the universe is Krishna, and then the offering is Radharani.
Yeah.
Does it mean like the thing that you offer is Radharani, or like the actual act of offering?
The act of offering and the mood of offering is Radharani. And the thing is Krishna. The thing is Krishna. The thing you offer is Krishna, and the mood and the act of offering is Radharani. So you put the two together. The things are coming from Krishna's universal form. Yes. Okay? Any other questions? Jaya, what is your Hare Krishna?